Romans 15:1, we then that are strong are indebted to bear or carry the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for the good. And the word good is agathos, which is for his spiritual good and specifically for edification or spiritual development. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it has been written, the insults of the ones insulting you fell upon me. For whatever things were written before were written for our teaching, in order that we, through patience, that is endurance, and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and encouragement give to you to think the same thing among one another, according as Christ Jesus, in order that you might be together in one mouth, giving glory to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we have studied in Ephesians, so it is in Romans, that when Paul is presenting a doctrinal letter along with details of the new life in Christ, he teaches doctrine first and the details of the new life last. Chapters 1 through 11 of Romans is the doctrinal section, all that he's done for us and all that he has made us to be as his children in Christ. But as we began Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I want to highlight something for you in a moment from verse 1, but let me just say first of all that Romans 12, 1, where it says, in light of all that Christ has done for you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, that is set apart, and well-pleasing to God. And with your reasoning processes, serve him in your worship of him. That's one of the two commandments and principles in Scripture for everyone in their approach to Christ to believe in him and become his disciple. But I'll explain that in just a moment. Romans 12:1 is the basis for everything after that. I must present myself as a living sacrifice to Christ in chapter 12 in order to function with the body of Christ as I should. In order for me to function with government and the law, to be a law-abiding citizen, as the Scripture calls me to be, I need to present my body as a living sacrifice to Christ because I am now a citizen of heaven. I'm functioning with a spiritual administration of God in the midst of a world that is a corrupt administration of Satan. So there are two opposing administrations functioning together. So I must present myself to Christ and give to Caesar that which is Caesar and keep my life conscience free, that I might have no debt whatsoever to anyone except to love, that is, to share in the love of Christ. But as we began chapter 14, it wasn't just our function from chapter 12, it's our fellowship together. Everyone, each person I come across is either older and more mature than me in the Lord or younger and less mature than me in the Lord. No one is the same. In fact, I heard someone say, and I think this is a very interesting comment, if you find two Christians that agree on everything, you've got at least one of them that's not thinking. Because we are all at different places. I was offended right off the bat after I received Christ and I was told to go find a church fellowship, and I went inside the church and there was a booklet on the table that said, if you're saved, here's what you believe. Well, I had to read that one. I didn't know what I believed. And they're going to tell me, here's what you believe. Oh, okay. Couldn't figure that one out. But come to find out that everybody in the church believed the same thing. Used the same words. And trying to get everyone conformed to the group's theology. We're all different. And the older believer is to take responsibility to endure, tolerate, cope with those who are younger in the Lord. Now, let me give you a little definition of the difference between somebody who is older in the Lord and makes light of the younger, and somebody who is younger in the Lord who judges the older Christian. It's just that the older Christian understands what the Bible teaches about certain things more fully and more completely than the young Christian does. The believing Jewish person will bring in their belief about the Sabbath day, that Saturday is the day that you gather together to worship. Whereas believers in the early church gathered together on Sunday. And some who were believing Jews did both. They went to synagogue on Saturday and to house fellowship, house church on Sunday. Some still lived by the dietary laws. Now, we as believers, we know that once you receive Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're not under the law. We're not under the dietary laws. We're not under the keeping of the Sabbath. That's legalistic, and it is specifically pointed to the Jews. And that's why in chapter 14, Paul says, if you esteem or value one day above another, or you esteem every day alike, you're to fellowship together. Because the older believer understands the role of the law and the dietary laws and the keeping of the Sabbath days. The older believer understands our place and the fact that we are not under the law. Some people cannot let go of it, and they should not be made to let go of it. But Paul says we need to learn to fellowship together so that we might grow in Christ. Now, when it comes to the doctrine of Christ or the doctrine of salvation, that's a separate issue. We're talking about one person having more understanding of biblical teaching about a certain area than another. And functioning together to grow in Christ, but not a compromise when it comes to truth, salvation, or growth. So, he says at the end of chapter 14, I am to judge myself, not other people. Judge myself whether I am committing an offense to someone. That's a stone in the midst of the trail there, and someone's going to walk down that trail following Christ, and they're going to trip over the stone. Am I putting something out there for people to trip on whose conscience has not been trained yet to understand fully what the Scripture says? Or am I setting a trap for someone by using my freedom in my understanding about what the Scripture says about certain things? In my freedom, am I causing someone to be entrapped within themselves and their own conscience because they don't understand, but their conscience is convicting them it's wrong for them to do. So my responsibility as I grow in Christ is to respect those who are older than I in the Lord and to also be sensitive to those who are younger than I, and usually that'll be the sensitive issue, since probably 99.9% of the body of Christ is immature. They don't understand. But what can I do to be a representative of what I understand? And what can I do to not offend the person who doesn't understand? God gives me a chance to share, I'll share. But to jam it down their throat and make them conform to my ways, that's not growth. So then he starts out in Romans 15:1, and he includes himself now, obviously. He says, we then who are strong, talking about himself and all others who he considers to be older than the Lord, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The word bear is the word carry. Carry their weaknesses, not for them, but in toleration because they're younger than we are in the Lord. So number one, we're indebted to do that. We're indebted because Christ carries our weaknesses. He bears with us. He tolerates us. Therefore, all that Christ has done for us, we are indebted to do for one another because he is the perfect example of sacrifice and love. We are indebted to bear the infirmities of the weak, and secondly, and not to please ourselves. The word please is the word satisfy. True freedom is freedom to not do things. There isn't anything in this life, in this physical world, nor anyone that should mean so much to me that I would have to compromise my relationship with the Lord over that thing or that person. But as we back off from this, here are the two principles. There are two of them. One is found here. One is found in Matthew chapter 16. And also in our text from Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 18 from this morning. No matter what the issue is, love, law, grace, no matter what it is, in order to understand it correctly, it must pass through two principles. And if you pass everything through these two principles, you'll keep everything in its proper perspective. The first principle, straight across the board, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I didn't say church member or part of a church. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the first principle that Jesus said, if you desire to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You have to reject yourself. How you feel, what you think, your opinion, your evaluation. Straight across the board. That's the principle that we have here. And these two principles, the first of which, is deny yourself. If someone comes to me and says, well, the Bible commands us that we're supposed to love our neighbor. Okay, what's the first principle for loving your neighbor? Deny yourself. Well, if I go out, no, there's no I. Well, what am I to, no, there's no I. You deny yourself. You do not please yourself. But see, we are in this hedonistic society in which we live. We are self-centered. So we are to bear with the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We are to deny ourselves. When someone comes to me and says, well, do you not believe in church work? Sure. What's the first principle? Deny yourself. Now what are you going to do? Nothing you can do. You have to deny yourself. Yeah, but I thought I would. No, no, there's no you. Or as the Lord prophesied to Zerubbabel in the building, rebuilding of the temple, it will not be by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It will be the Lord or it will be nothing. It's not directed at my human effort. It's directed at my submission and the denial of myself, because when I submit to the Lord, that's what I'm doing. I'm denying myself. I like to, in the essence of the word salvation, I like to use the word surrender, because that's basically what it is. When you receive Christ, you're surrendering to Him, because when you receive Christ, you receive His Spirit that comes into your spirit, so you're giving up yourself. You now belong to Christ. It's a surrender. So once I receive Christ, if I say, thank you, I'm going to heaven, I'm out the door to do my own thing. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah presents the definition of a sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all gone our own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You could be the nicest person in the world, but if you're doing it your way, if you're going your way, and it is not in surrender to Christ, it is sin. That's who a sinner is. Somebody goes their own way. I do it my way. There are people who believe the truth about Christ, and they go their own way, find the church that believes in him and follows him the way they think it should be done, which basically means they can't give up themselves and surrender to Christ. They have to make their own Jesus and their own church. So the very number one principle across the board, in order for me to understand everything there is that God wants me to do, he says, number one, you're to present your body as a living sacrifice in denial of yourself. You're surrendering yourself. Present yourself as a living sacrifice to me. It's, Lord, here I am. Here's the situation. Here I am. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter how I feel. Even though he doesn't mind us telling him. I mean, Jesus did it. Father, be thy will. Remove this cup of suffering from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Principle number two. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Denial of self and be completely filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. For me to understand everything that the Lord wants me to do, or to understand what the Bible tells me as a Christian to do, it must pass through those two principles. That's what Jesus said. He saw the multitude coming. He says, well, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. That's what it means to deny yourself. So he lost a lot of people, which is why you don't hear it repeated in pulpits today. People don't go to church to learn how to give up and surrender themselves and give over to the Lord themselves as a living sacrifice to say, Lord, let your will be done. So everything must pass through those two principles in order for me to understand the scripture correctly. The reason why I take the time to mention this morning, because we do have a short 11 o'clock time because of communion and all, but we're in a day and age, again, let me repeat myself, we're in a day and age where leadership in the church carries an attitude of the Lord has ascended up into heaven and he has left us here to do his work for him. And in our culture, that sounds and seems perfectly okay. I mean, how can it be wrong when you put forth your best human effort to do things for the Lord? But then Isaiah says, our best works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. So the best that I can do, God says, nope, that's just a filthy rag doing its work, and I don't accept it. The only thing the Lord accepts is what his Spirit does in us and through us. God judges me based on my surrender. The denial of myself and my surrender to him and presentation to him of myself as a living sacrifice. And seek for the filling of his Spirit, for his Spirit to do what the Lord wants to do through me and in me. It keeps all the interpretations about the Bible and the texts and the various commands for the believer. What about the law? The Jewish person who believes and they have these scruples about dietary laws and special days and festival days they think every Christian should be doing, but they just don't understand a Jewish believer's role under grace. They feel like it's wrong to give up law in order to follow grace. Well, okay, go ahead and follow the law. How are you going to follow the law? Well, I just do it. Okay, number one, you must deny yourself. How are you going to do it? Well, no. Denial of self, rejection. That's what the word denial means. Our neomai means to reject yourself. Well, then I won't do it. I'll just look for the Lord to fill me and by his Spirit and let him do it. Fine. Guess what he's going to do? Won't be the law. If everything passes through those two principles, everything stays in proper perspective. But again, we are self-centered people in a hedonistic society, and we want to go to heaven, we want to receive Christ and what he did for us on the cross, but a living sacrifice? Denial of self? Wow. That's not very popular. But that's what Jesus said. That's what Paul said. That's what they taught in the early church. All the scriptures are filled with it. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, Paul said in the book of Galatians. Always emphasizing that the walk must be under the influence of his Spirit and not ourselves. So in Romans chapter 15, Paul starts off with this in finalizing in these first 13 verses about our fellowship with one another, that we who are strong, we are indebted to bear the infirmities of the weak, and we are indebted to not please ourselves. What fun in Christianity is that? You know, not to please myself. That we are living sacrifices. And why are we living sacrifices? Because Jesus, when he came as a living sacrifice. So those who are disciples of Christ are living sacrifices, because that's who he is. We're following his footsteps. These two principles are like the two pieces of magnifying material in a binocular. In order to see things in focus and see things correctly, it must pass through those two principles. Or as Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you cannot do one thing, in telling his disciples about the things of God and the spiritual things of God. Without me, you can't do it. Or as God told Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That he was going to go back and rebuild the temple, but it won't be based on or because of human effort. It'll be because of the Spirit of God doing it in them and through them. Very important principles. Next week, we'll attempt to finish this section, but I'll leave you with those two principles, because those two principles summarize everything that we learn about, everything that the Scripture says to a believer. Whatever the issue is, as important as it is, it's always number three. It has to pass through the first two to get to number three. Whatever the issue is. It's not to please myself. I am to present my body as a living sacrifice to Christ. I am to reject myself, even though I continue to function. I still have feelings. I still have opinions. I still have wants and desires. He's not asking me to no longer function. He's asking me to reject what I want. To surrender to him for him to do what he wants. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessed promise that you will not leave us as orphans, and that you are here with us every step of the way. We're not asked to surrender our lives to God up in heaven, but to surrender to the living Christ here and now that lives inside of each one of those who believe. That we surrender ourselves for you to work out your will according to your way, and not our own. Even in our fellowship together, as Paul is teaching us, we're supposed to bear, to tolerate, carry the load of the weaknesses of those who are without strength, and not to please ourselves. In our relationship with Christ, it's a life of surrender. In our relationship with one another, it's a life of submission. As we submit to one another and line up with one another in the Lord. We also confess that in the human we cannot understand nor learn these things, but rather it must be the Spirit of God. And even for this, we submit and surrender to you. for your Spirit to minister these things to us, to enlighten us, to cause us to grow in our maturity in Christ, in our understanding of the Scriptures and its teaching. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.